There's stuff in here. It's like, I don't know. So if you missed it this week was Vacation Bible School, VBS, to those who are fond of it. VBS, to those that aren't fond of it. But anyways, we had a good time. VBS probably takes about 1,000 hours, maybe more, 1,000 man hours to put it together. I mean, that's an honest, decent figure of how many hours it takes to decorate this building, put everything together. It's a lot of manpower. We probably mobilized more people for VBS than any other given thing we do. For Vacation Bible School. That's two more than we had Sunday morning for worship. So that's, you know, why? It's a whole different story. They're looking for some kind of value. They find value in it. I know there's kids that aren't part of this church that come each year. I have some that notify me every year. Hey, when is it? Early in the summer, so they can put it on their calendar so they can do it. So we have an outreach. Have a good time. There's a lot of fun. So anyways, best I can tell. Yep. Okay. 5:30. They a lot of them have. I know some places do more than just 2.5 hours. Some places have more days. The Methodist Church here on Highway 50, and they do 5 days. They do, I don't know, half day or so. I don't know what it is, 8 to 2 or something like that. I'm thankful for the change. I'm happy with that. 3 days wear me out. I'll go that week, and I'll typically get about 4 hours of sleep each night, trying to get stuff ready and everything. Yeah, they do. Most of them charge. Ours is free. We've got a budget item. I think our budget's about $2,500 for VBS. I will tell you it costs more than that. It's just some people don't turn in any receipts. They just, this is what I'm doing. So, whether that's a mystery or just the way God works. I know Camille teaches Vacation Bible School at the Methodist Church because a friend of mine from high school asks her each year to teach there. So she goes and makes sure the kids get the word. They have mercenaries teaching Vacation Bible School because they can't get some of their own members to do it. We don't do that. I've taught back there. I teach. I know Nick taught in here for the adult class. I hope he did a good job. Did he do good? Good. I expected them to. Did he? Here you go.
Yeah, I told you.
The world's afraid of peanut allergies. I'm not, but anyways. So anyways, place should be cleaned up. The teen room looks the same. Just kidding. Somebody said it looks like it always has. We turned the teen room into a man cave is what we turned it into. So we had fun with that. I tried to get a decent picture of it, and I can't really say that I did. Well, in every proper man cave, we stole stuff from every part of the building to put in there and put it back, including 3 toilet seats that I found in the back. So we had a koi pond, John. You missed our koi pond. So anyways, the first 40 fish died. I will admit I didn't do too well with my fish, but the first 40 died. The last 15 survived VBS. A lot of good kids, a lot of interested kids, a handful of kids that... Challenge is a good word. Challenge is a good word. So, yeah, that's a good word. All right. So we're going to talk about Joseph of Arimathea today is who we're going to talk about. Ironically, I talked about him a little bit on the last night of VBS. So, the Bible's clear in its assertion that riches can hinder one from entering the kingdom of heavens, such does not have to occur. When used properly, one's riches can help spread the gospel and can be used to provide for those in need. Joseph of Arimathea stands as an example of a wealthy individual who uses resources for good. He not only courageously asked for the body of Jesus, but also, along with Nicodemus, provided Jesus with a dignified burial. His wealth was not a hindrance. It was a tool used for good. And Joseph of Arimathea is only specifically mentioned in one event in the scripture, although the event's covered in all four gospels. Despite the negative attention he certainly would have received by associating himself with Jesus, Joseph did not hesitate to approach Pilate and arrange for Jesus' burial. We remember him as a man of action because he didn't hesitate in expressing his belief. It's true that he once conducted himself as a secret disciple of Jesus. In the end, however, his faith was on display before all. In this, he was certainly worthy of imitation. Anyways, that's it. There you go. You've seen the whole lesson, okay? There's nothing to hide, but we'll talk from there. But that's pretty much what we'll look at. We're going to look at three different accounts of it. In Matthew 27, 57, when it was evening, there came a rich man from Arimathea named Joseph, who also was a disciple of Jesus. We're going to look at the account in Luke 23, verses 50 through 53. Now, there was a man named Joseph from the Jewish town of Arimathea. He was a member of the council, a good and righteous man, who had not consented to their decision and action, and he was looking for the kingdom of God. This man went to Pilate and asked for the body of Jesus, and he took it down and wrapped it in a linen shroud and laid him in a tomb cut in stone, where no one had ever yet been laid. And also the account in John 19, 38 through 42. After these things, Joseph of Arimathea, who was a disciple of Jesus, but secretly for fear of the Jews, asked Pilate that he might take away the body of Jesus, and Pilate gave him permission. So he came and took away his body. Nicodemus also, who earlier had come to Jesus by night, came bringing a mixture of myrrh and aloes, about 75 pounds in weight. So they took the body of Jesus and bound it in linen cloths with the spices, as is the burial custom of the Jews. Now in the place where he was crucified, there was a garden, and in the garden, a new tomb in which no one had yet been laid. So because of the Jewish day of preparation, since the tomb was close at hand, they laid Jesus there. And those are the three scriptures we're going to look at. The gospel is the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. Sometimes we miss the burial part. It seems like a simple part, but without that, then without the burial, the fact that he's risen wouldn't, it can't happen. A lot of it goes back to this empty tomb. So they have to have a tomb. They have to have the body put in there. So it's part of that too. And he plays a role in that. So we're going to look at the rich man, Matthew 27, 57. A rich man would live exactly like this. Stack of pizza boxes, some pictures hang crookedly. This is exactly how rich people would live, right? I would, right? Nobody else thought it was funny. But okay. So anyways, what does this verse reveal about Joseph? When it was evening, there came a rich man from Arimathea named Joseph, who was also a disciple of Jesus. What do we know about Joseph from this one verse? He was rich. And a secret disciple. Yeah, we're going to get into the secret disciple part later. Yeah, you're right. Wait a day. Yeah. He came on the Sabbath, on the Passover, and did this. Well, like I said, everybody else would have waited. It was not something. There's a whole lot that he did that a Jew wouldn't have done. Touching a dead body, especially on a Sabbath day, especially on a Passover. I mean, it's like forbidden, forbidden, forbidden. I don't know what the secret number for forbidden is. You know, like sevens and tens, but there's probably a forbidden number. I don't know. So anyways, it would probably be three of those. Yeah, he... Jewish town, yeah. That's what it said. I would have thought, you know, I don't even know where Arimathea is. Is it not in Israel? I don't know. That's a good question. Well, I know in Israel, some of the cities still had Philistines. They had Philistines still living in Israel at this time. There was Canaanites that were just never wiped out from the time of Joshua. So it could be, this is like you say, this is where the Jews live in this town, but the other ones don't. I didn't look into it. That's a good question, though. It really is. We always know him as Joseph of Arimathea because of the other Josephs in the Bible, but what the significance of that is and where it's even at, I don't really know. So why do you think his economic status is important? Why does it matter that he was a rich man? Yeah, that's one of the things, definitely. He wouldn't have the credentials to talk to Pilate Go ahead and call Scott Walker on the phone. I can find his number on the internet. Go ahead and give him a call, see if he takes